We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to this week's episode of the Steelers Outpost Podcast, a proud member of Sports Drink Network. This is Nick coming to you on the move in Houston, Texas, as the Super Bowl matchup has been set. It's another classic in the waiting with Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, who everyone has kind of cuckily decided to hate. I'm going to coin that term using cuck as an adverb. Versus the San Francisco 49ers, who might be this generation's iteration of the Jim Kelly Buffalo Bills if they can't win a Super Bowl. Just this amazing team that keeps making it to Super Bowls and falling flat to Patrick Mahomes, essentially. So I'm extremely excited about the matchup. Obviously, we don't need the Ravens winning any Super Bowls. So sorry, boys, got to sit back home. Sorry, Lamar. A couple sweet plays in that game, but they couldn't get it done. Yada, yada. I had an amazing time watching I've seen pretty much every playoff game. I think it's the first year where I've seen like every game in the divisional and the championship weekend. And while my jealousy of the Steelers not being there, it's not as strong as it used to be when we were kind of closer to being actually good. There's almost a relief of not having to be jealous or not having to, you know, measure up how close are the Steelers to these teams, because that's a whole nother subject. Although I do think that the Steelers have a great chance of being a lot better next year. Does that mean that they can keep up with these type of teams? Probably not, but you know, the Lions kind of inspire you in that range, and whatever. Let's see what happens with the Steelers over time. I guess what I'm trying to get at is it was fun to watch good games and to watch great competition. And now, off of the heels of that, we have some offensive coordinator news starting to bubble for the Steelmen. And actually, as I'm recording this in my car, Art Rooney, the second, just gave, I guess, a private press conference. I don't know if that makes it a press conference. It was more like a State of the Union with reporters. I know Brooke Pryor of ESPN tweeted about it. I think Joe Rutter, a couple other people had tweeted, said, hey, there's no video of this. I don't know if there's going to be. But Art Rooney just gathered us media people together and sort of talked about the state of the team. And a few quotes came out from that meeting, let's just call it. And nothing that'll shock you. Some things that I think will make fans a little bit disappointed to hear, but once again, I think we have to take a step back and look at where the Steelers are and weigh the value of kind of blowing everything up, which is what you would need to do to really find a quarterback, a star quarterback at this point in time. And then you would just have to blow it up over and over again until you find one. And then hopefully your team isn't so unbelievably bad that you ruin that quarterback. You know, I guess if that's what people think is a good strategy for the Steelers, I don't know if that even guarantees you getting one or not. You know, how long have the Raiders been bad? How long has Washington been bad? You can stay bad for sure. So I don't know if that's the move you want, or, you know, hey, we're the Steelers. Let's keep winning. We won 10 games this year with a historically bad offensive coordinator. Then we put in a couple position coaches who have really never called plays to at least an extensive level. And the NFL, we put them in, and the offense looked a lot better, looked a lot different. And then, you know, we had no chance against the Buffalo Bills, who are not a particularly good team. And to me, have not really been a great team in the past few years with Josh Allen, as much as people say they are. They just have Josh Allen. And to me, that's where it gets a little tricky. Like, that guy's unbelievable, and he raises the level of an average, above average team. Like, they have some good players. They just don't have any blue chips really anywhere. You know, Stephon Diggs, really good receiver, obviously slowing down a little bit. But even at Stephon Diggs' peak, he's never Antonio Brown or Ja'Marr Chase or Tyreek Hill or Justin Jefferson or one of those guys who's just going to score three touchdowns and 200 yards in a given game. I know he's had some huge games, but I guess not to take away from the only other guy who I'm kind of mentioning who's like, hey, that's a star player, Stephon Diggs. You know, Matt Milano, that's one inside linebacker. Like, that guy makes a huge difference. But again, it's not like having an edge rusher, a bunch of corners, or an elite offensive line and run game. The Bills haven't had that much. They just have they have Josh Allen. And even with the Steelers' improvements, they really didn't do anything offensively against them. So I do think that, you know, some of what came out from this Rooney meeting could help the Steelers beat a team like that. Does it help them win a Super Bowl? I don't know. Maybe it really does come down to like, hey, buddy, you ain't winning a Super Bowl unless you have an elite quarterback or you have Kyle Shanahan or Sean McVay, who are like an elite quarterback in their own right, given the fact that they are historically good play callers. These are the best play callers of the generation. It's instant offense for whoever you put in there. But by the way, Sean couldn't win it without an elite quarterback because he needed Stafford to barely win it at the very end. And he got there with Goff, and Goff is a really good quarterback. Do I think Kenny Pickett could turn into Jared Goff? I don't think that that's crazy to say that. I don't think that's crazy at all. But, you know, just and Shanahan still isn't one one. So we'll find out there. But regardless, I guess my feeling coming out of this Rooney meeting, before I sort of mention the quick quotes right here, is I've sort of simmered down and settled down about the Steelers over the past couple years. And, you know, for a while, it was sort of despondency. I kind of – you reach a breaking point, and then, you know, they draft Kenny, and they kind of commit to a player like that where you're like, oh, my gosh, this is going to have to be a historic outlier in terms of this guy becoming a star quarterback. There's really nobody with that resume and measurables and tape that has turned out to be a real star. But it has happened. There's been Tony Romo's. There's a couple guys like that. Not that I don't think Kenny can be a good quarterback. I actually do think Kenny could still be like a top half of the league quarterback. Just the bummer is it's hard enough to win with the top five quarterbacks. So what are you going to look like there? And so sort of had some apathy about the team for a while. And then, you know what? Honestly, I was very invigorated by the end of the season this year when they switched away from Canada. Kenny had that great first game. And then, you know, we wasted time with Mitch. So that kind of brought us back into the doldrums. And then Mace Rudolph came back and you just saw, hey, the team, it's so much more fun to watch when they're actually competitive and they're good. And you do look at a team like the Detroit Lions, and I don't know, man, there's part of me that thinks the same thing about the Ravens, with, you know, not to disrespect Lamar, but the Ravens strike me more as just a really well-rounded team and not exactly just this, oh my gosh, they have this one guy who's going to throw for 300 yards every game and like there's just nothing you can do to stop it. You know, so when you look at that, it does encourage you with what the Steelers have, because to me the Steelers have a tremendous amount of talent already that I think is incredibly underrated, and we're about to see what they do with another draft and another free agency session. So the Steelers sort of renewed my energy over the end of last season, and I've just been pondering on the value of winning. Right? Because it's like, well, let's do everything we can to do to get better with this exact team. And then you sit there and wonder like, yeah, but is that going to ever win you a Super Bowl? And it's like, I don't know. A lot would have to go right. But then what's the alternative? Oh, well, we need an elite quarterback. Okay, how do you get an elite quarterback? Well, unfortunately, a huge portion of that equation is just luck. It's like, not only do you usually have to suck? Although, guess what? Like, the Chiefs didn't suck when they got Patrick Mahomes. They were able to trade up for a guy, you know, went down to 10. You know, Josh Allen's at 8. But usually you have to be in range. And then it just has to work out where there are not teams ahead of you that year who are going to block you from trading up. There's going to be teams ahead of you. Like this year, it looks like there's plenty of teams who are not going to, who are going to take a quarterback. They're not going to allow the Steelers to jump up 10, 12 spots. And I could be wrong, but it just looks like from the outset that, man, this is not a great year to be at 20, even though there are some interesting quarterback prospects. And then there's even other examples of, like, you could get the number one pick in the draft and you could be the LA, or I don't know if they were in St. Louis at the time, but the Rams. And who are the best quarterbacks? Well, it's Jared Goff is going one and Carson Wentz is going two. And like I said, Jared Goff's a really good player. He's developed to be a good player, and they even made a Super Bowl with him. Although, honestly, you know, even at the time, we were saying that they're kind of making a Super Bowl in spite of him. But it's sure, even if Jared Goff is good, it's not the same as when the Cincinnati Bengals get the number one pick and it's Joe Burrow coming out. Or you got Andrew Luck coming out that year. You know, when we needed a quarterback, it was Kenny Pickett was the first quarterback at 20. So there's so much luck involved with getting an amazing quarterback that way that I don't know if that's a real strategy that you can use. And obviously a team is not going to want to do that, because if your strategy is let's literally just tank for like 3-4 years and just get a billion first round picks, kind of like the Browns, you're going to lose a lot of money as an owner and as a team. But I do think that there's a massive cultural importance to winning and maintaining your standing, yada, yada. And to wrap this up here, I would say there's some like, I don't rule the Steelers out from winning a Super Bowl in the next couple of years. Like, I just want to see how this offseason goes. But that being said, what Rooney said in this little meeting was essentially, number one, the offensive coordinator hire is Mike Tomlin's call. And this is what we all expected and what we all thought over the years. Coach Tomlin chooses the coordinator, and it was nice to hear how Art Rooney II explained it. He said, look, I think we were talking about a coordinator. That needs to be a head football coach's call. I'm not going to get in the way of that. And so speaking of organizational or winning organizations, that's kind of what everyone's always thought about the Steelers. Like, man, the Rooneys are smart enough to put their hand in the pile when they need to and to take their hand out when they don't need to. You know, you see what's happening with David Tepper, funny enough, former minority owner of the Steelers. See what's happening with him, kind of making football decisions, constantly, you know, deciding on coaches. I mean, allegedly he's the guy who really pushed them to draft Bryce Young. We know Dan Snyder made Washington trade all those picks to get RG3 back in the day. And so it's nice to hear that the Steelers don't have a meddling owner that way. And I do agree with him. It's Mike Tomlin's call. I'm sure Mike Tomlin is conferring with the Brain Trust, with Omar Khan and Eric Weidel, but it's going to be Mike's call with the OC. And he sort of not only reiterated what Mike Tomlin said he wanted from an offensive coordinator, but he almost doubled down and solidified some of the details, and those details being they want someone that's experienced. They want somebody who's experienced and who has a track record. And so when I hear that, I immediately get a little bit scared. But my hope is that what they mean is they would prefer to have somebody with a track record and with experience. And the reason why I hope that is because, you know, I'd have to take some time to really think about this historically. But definitely the case is now in the league that if you take the all-time play caller head coaches out, McVay, Shanahan, those guys, Sean Payton, take them out of the equation. Those are the diamond in the rough kind of things. But as far as hiring an offensive coordinator, it does feel like all the best offensive coordinators in the league over the last few years, maybe even longer, have been guys who have never called plays before. Like Ben Jones wasn't like a play caller they picked out of somewhere else and moved him to Detroit. It's weird to have a lateral move as a play caller, because in today's NFL, play caller, if you're successful, you become a head coach. So you look at Ben Jones, you look at Bobby Slowick, you look at all these hot names on the market, and they are guys who have never done it before. But then you have someone like Todd Monken for Baltimore, who I'm not sure if he called plays in the NFL before. I feel like he did. I know he coached kind of yo-yo in between the NFL and college. Obviously he was at Georgia. But
you do bring a guy up there and you see, okay, look, yeah, they can move the ball. They should be in the Super Bowl. Now, you could argue that the coordinator lost them the AFC Championship game. I think they had like eight carries between Lamar and the rest of the team. You know, well, Lamar had eight carries, I think, but guy had 54 yards rushing and they kind of got pass happy. And so you could say, what the hell? Like, there you go. There's a bad offensive coordinator ruined that game. But I definitely don't think it's that simple. I mean, there's, you know, John Lenyard and some other guys were tweeting online about, yeah, you know, just the things that Lamar has to adjust in the playoffs is he's got to take what the defense gives him a little bit more, take what the offense gives him and not look for big plays so often. So of course the quarterback always has a hand in this stuff, yada, yada. So you don't have to have, I guess here's my thought with my offensive coordinator thing. Like the expectation now from the general public and certainly from fans of teams is that the offensive coordinator is supposed to take the ball out of the quarterback's hand and go hand it to the receiver. It's like, no, you guys, the coordinator has to do a good job. He can't actively tank the team like Matt Canada would do with his level of predictability based on the simplicity of the offense, with his kind of inability to teach it or have any success of any kind at any level at any moment. So, yeah, that can definitely ruin it. But at the end of the day, the Steelers looking for an experienced play caller. You know, I hope they're interviewing Clint Kubiak and maybe they'll count his dad's experience as experience. But, you know, if the Steelers get an okay play caller, that's fine. The one I'm scared of is a guy who I really like. I see him on McAfee's show and part of my take, and he seems like a really funny, like cool down to earth guy in a lot of ways, except for when he's on TV, he's had some bad moments. But you know, when you're talking to him, he seems really cool. Arthur Smith. That's one that scares the death out of me because I've been pretty vocal on the pod here, as a psycho acolyte of George Pickens, where I truly do think that the Steelers need to get it through their head that George Pickens is their best player besides TJ Watt. And they need to revolve the offense around him. And they need to stop this crap of letting defenses off the hook, especially Kenny Pickett. And this is my thing with, like, I do think Kenny Pickett would beat out Mason Rudolph in a quarterback competition now that Matt Canada is gone. Matt Canada being gone doesn't turn Kenny Pickett into like a superstar or whatever. You still just have the worries about, like, well, maybe this is kind of a cooler, slightly more alpha Andy Dalton. But clearly the guy, like, he struggles reading the field, even when Matt Canada is calling open plays. He runs into sacks, yada, yada. I know this is so repetitive when it comes to Kenny, but I think it's really important to note that, like, hey, it's not, there are so many plays to be made on the field that he didn't make. And unfortunately, we didn't get to see him for more games after Canada was gone when they did some more things to help him. But I can guarantee you're still going to see some of that stuff. Like, that's baked into his DNA. He's going to have to work really hard to make himself realize he's not a scrambler or like a constant scrambler that way. But the big problem is, like, he doesn't force the ball to Pickens, and there are too many games where he said, yeah, George did a great job. The defense was drawing, you know, so much coverage to him that other guys were open, and we liked the matchup with Deontay. Okay, stop doing that. Like, stop doing that. Like, Deontay is really good. George Pickens is a freak superstar who the defenses are literally telling you they are scared of. Deontay has never got that level of attention. And so when they double George Pickens, you are letting them off the hook by being like, okay, sweet, now we have these other matchups. They doubled Antonio Brown every game of his career, and he got 10 catches every game. And I'm not saying Pickens is Antonio Brown, but I'm also not saying he's super far off. And even like AB will tweet about it himself. He's like, this guy needs at least minimum 10 targets. He's saying minimum 15, 16 targets a game. Like, because you're letting them off the hook if you don't get it to Pickens. And so that leads me back to Arthur Smith, who did, like, arguably the worst job we've seen in recent history of getting the ball to his playmakers. The whole Bijan Robinson, Kyle Pitts, and even Drake London misuse is why he's out of Atlanta now. And there is no evidence to say that that would improve in Pittsburgh, and especially with Pittsburgh's already present inability to get George Pickens the ball. That really scares me. And it's such an odd thing to have that be a problem for a coordinator. It's not super frequent, But some of the guys they've talked to or allegedly talked to, that's him, that's Cliff Kingsbury, who failed to get the ball to DeAndre Hopkins in Arizona and lined up DeAndre Hopkins on the same side of the formation for every single play, didn't move him around, like truly criminal misuse, of which there is a mountain of evidence for. Like, I'm scared that they're interviewing guys like that. And was there another one? I'm just thinking of other examples of coordinators throughout the years. What's the guy, Ben McAdoo, with Odell in New York? Same thing. We're just going to line them up in the same side of the formation and we'll see what happens. Matt Canada did that with George Pickens. Like, we're just going to have him on the outside and he's going to run a go or a slam. That's kind of it. So, as long as the Steelers don't do that, I'll feel fine. I think that even an average offensive coordinator with the talent that the Steelers have, and hopefully they'll be able to figure out Broderick Jones and bring him back to his natural side of the line at left tackle, and hopefully draft another tackle high. I'd love if they drafted one in the first round, and then you're going to kind of turn around and you're going to say, how did Detroit get that far? Oh, they've got 3 first-round picks minimum on the offensive line, and yada yada. And that's going to help you transition between quarterbacks and coordinators, especially if you've got running backs like the Steelers have. And look, in my opinion, the Steelers are going to sometimes rely a little bit too much on the talent of Jaylen Warren and Najee Harris, particularly when you look at their broken tackle rate. They're constantly breaking tackles to make long runs. Like, if you're missing one of those guys for a string of games, you need to be able to plug dudes in like Miami does, or San Francisco. Obviously, I know, caveat, we're talking about the super coordinator there, but I'd love for the Steelers to dedicate themselves to offensive line. I think that the pick in the first 2 rounds is obviously got to be a center, tackle, or a corner. Corner would do a ton for them as well. Be scary if they hit on another corner, like, oh my goodness. Then you'd have two. That'd be wild. But regardless, I do think that the Steelers could get an average, fine coordinator, and they've really accumulated a lot of talent to be a good team who could make some noise. And I'm excited for them to acquire more talent over this offseason. And so, yeah, that's about it for the Steel Man right now. I don't remember if he said, I'm blanking on anything else he said, Art Rooney the second, that really piqued my interest. Oh, right. We won't go over this, but it's Kenny and Mason. It's basically what they're saying. He believes in Kenny, and he wants Mason to provide competition. I don't think there's a reason for me to go into that in depth on this podcast. I've already talked about the quarterback thing enough. Who else are you going to get? Do you want to get Jacoby Brissett, who's probably better than both of them? Maybe. I don't know how much of a big difference that makes in the grand scheme of things. Like, I think that Kenny Pickett could have a chance at becoming a Jacoby Brissett this year, and I think that there's evidence to say that. And like I said, I'm not a believer in some, and I don't think really anybody is, except for the really crazy Arden fans. I'm not a believer in him becoming like a superstar, but I do think that there is evidence to say, hey, this guy got broken in the middle of last season when he was throwing for 106 yards a game, like 5 games in a row. But there is other moments where he's done much better. The one freaking game we got to see him play. I know the preseason, it's hard to put any stock into that, but I do think that there was a little something to that. Particularly considering that it we saw him throw the ball downfield, which is his big Achilles heel. And so, yeah, I think he could become a better player. Obviously, everyone's going to be upset with, like, you're going to run back Mason Rudolph and the Steelers. I mean, it is funny. Like, the Mason story was awesome when it occurred, but you do watch him in the pocket. You're like, this poor bastard, he's going to get killed. Everything's so slow. But, he put his proverbial balls on the table. Look, I'm gonna say it. And he went out there and played like he had nothing to lose, and this was his last chance in his career, and it really paid off. Do I think that that's a really inspiring QB competition? Obviously not, but I think, with the chemistry and the cohesion the Steelers have had on the roster, it actually could be a pretty fiery, competition that occurs in training camp. And the Steelers won 10 games this year, and they should have won 12 to 13. When you think of the Cardinals and the Patriots. So if you want to say, oh, Joe Burrow wasn't playing, like, yeah, that stuff kind of evens out. That's how it goes. But Regardless, I think there is some reason for some optimism in Pittsburgh, and I definitely understand if people or fans out there are wishing that they just blew it up and, you know, let Tomlin go, bring in Vrabel, bring in some like real discipline, which Vrabel is very good at. And, you know, there's players on the Steelers, young players, Najee and Broderick, not just hinting at, but flat out saying there's not enough discipline on the team. And look, I understand that if that's your desire as a fan, if you think that would be a more, if that would be a better decision and would, it would take the Steelers out of this sort of above average mediocrity that they're in. I get it, but I don't think that there's a super compelling case either way of like they should definitely blow it up or they should definitely double down with what they're doing now. All I know is the Steelers got a lot of good players and they could be a lot more fun to watch next year, and I'll be curious to see where that leads if you just keep doing a good job with your team. And yeah, very excited for the Super Bowl. I am a huge Patrick Mahomes fan. I think that they're like the fun version of the Patriots, where the Patriots were so methodical and kind of plodding. The games weren't that fun to watch, but when you watch Patrick Mahomes and the way he plays, and you watch all the motions and the red jerseys, the Andy Reid offense, they're a lot of fun. I do think that they're really likable. I think that, oh yeah, there's been a moment where like Patrick Mahomes was a complete sore loser a couple weeks ago to Josh Allen, but then he apologized for the next day, and I'm like, dude, is that our bar? Like, we just want the guys to be perfect, never make a mistake ever. Like, if you go back, like Peyton Manning, the most well, like, hey, this is a quarterback guy. The dude literally called out his receivers in press conferences of games that he lost. He called out his offensive linemen. There's all kinds of stuff that all of these guys did, and guess what? I'm not holding it against them. It's sports. They get over it. Those receivers and offensive linemen still liked him. You know, Pat apologized to Josh. You know, the Taylor Swift thing, again, very cucky for people to be like, that's why I hate them. That's not why I hate them. You hate them because they're winning a lot and you're jealous of them. That's it. It's better if you just admit that. Like, I can admit I'm jealous of them. Like, that'd be awesome to have. But they're not winning because they're cheating, which is just that whole thing with the Patriots. Like, look, there's some cheating scandals there, but there's not a lot of concrete evidence. The Deflategate thing, and believe me, the Patriots ruined my adolescence. Steelers would have at least one more Super Bowl, if not multiple, if it weren't for the Patriots. But like the cheating thing just feels a little like, oh my gosh, are we all on a playground now? Like, eventually I had to just admit it with the Patriots, where it's like, hey, it's six Super Bowls and they've been to nine. There might be a chance that they're just really good. And it's frustrating that they're in the way of my team. But guess what? My team made it to three Super Bowls and won two of them during that Patriots reign. And they did not have to play the Patriots on any of those Super Bowl runs. And I don't think we can say for sure that the Steelers would have won the year Le'Veon got hit or got hurt, or, you know, Ben's first year playing, whatever. But I guess what I'm trying to say is like, we should appreciate the greatness of the Chiefs as football fans and have fun watching it. And I don't know. You can dislike them if you want, but what I prefer if someone says, I just don't like that they keep winning all the time. Like, screw this. I want somebody else to win. I would say, you know what? I respect that. But then sort of making up the reasons, like, well, no, actually, you're trying to like justify it. No. They are inherently dislikable because the camera shows Taylor Swift for a grand total of like 47 seconds on the broadcast. It's like, get out of here. Get out of here. If you care about that, which you don't, it just triggers you the jealousy. You're insane. There's 3.5 hours of commercials. Y'all are down to see Chick-fil-A? You're down to see Flo on Progressive 400 billion times during the course of a fall season, and you're not going to say anything about that and start justifying, like, well, why does the NFL even have commercials? No, you're just used to it. It's part of the gig. But the Taylor Swift for a few seconds thing is just like people looking to just say you're jealous. That's actually cooler. Like, yeah, I understand. It'd be awesome to be a Chiefs fan. But that whole thing blows my mind. Like, oh, see? See, yeah, it's Taylor Swift. No way. Get out of here. That's crazy. Just be jealous and move on with it. I am jealous. Hand up. I'm jealous. I remember that Patrick Mahomes' third start, second game of the season, he threw six freaking touchdowns against the Steelers, and I said, no. Why? This is... I want this. This is right after the loss to the Jaguars in the playoffs, too, I believe. So it was a tough time for us as Steelers fans. But, yeah, if they win, I'll be kind of – I'll be amazed as a football fan and someone who loves quarterback play and just to see what that dude is doing. And, you know, have Spagnuolo and all those other pieces to the Chiefs, what they can do to, like, morph as a team. Hey, we used to be a 50-yard bomb team. Now we are a pick-em-apart-and-winning defensive battle thing. Like, that's awesome. And then if the Niners win, I'll be pumped to see this historic team and this historic coach who just wins everywhere he goes. I'll be really excited to see him finally get a Super Bowl. It feels wrong that the Niners haven't been able to get one. And yes, I don't care about any of the teams at the end of the day. I want the Steelers to get every Super Bowl and nobody else to get one. But the Steelers haven't been as fun to watch in the past few years until the past few games. And I definitely wasn't one of those people who was sitting there like, but maybe, you know what, actually it's a call, it's a ref here or there. I was like, no, dude, I've watched the Steelers my whole life. We've had really good teams. This is not one of those. Like, it's not close. It's not going to change during the season. Like, here we are. This is who we are. So am I just going to not enjoy football anymore? No, I'm going to diversify a little bit. I am going to schadenfreude. I'm going to participate in some schadenfreude and hope the Ravens lose. But at the end of the day, it's screw all these teams, screw the Chiefs, screw the Niners, screw everybody, Steelers all day, every day, to the end of all days, and even past that. All right, talk to you guys later. Steelers Outpost on Twitter, SteelersOutpost@gmail.com. Until next week, go Steelers. Okay, bye-bye.